Hey everyone, it's Morgan and welcome back to Off the Record. Today I'm joined with
Tess, hi.
and today we are going to be talking about study abroad programs because in fall of 2024, Tess and I both studied abroad and we figured let's talk about it because we were in two different places. I won't spoil where Tess was, but I was in London. I was at the Fordham London program. And Tess, you were where?
I was in Paris with CIEE, which is like a partner program with Fordham. So,
I guess let's start with you because yours is a bit more interesting. How was
okay.
that? What was that like?
Oh, it was like super me. I'm like, it was like super fun. No, but it actually was like, it was so different from New York City, but also similar in the sense of it was both like busy city, but busy city in different ways. Like Fordham has so much hustle culture versus, and just New York City in general versus in Paris, it was way more relaxed and way more chill. Like no one would come up to you and ask you, oh, what do you do? Like that was an inappropriate question per se. And of course, like the architecture is different, like everything's brighter there versus New York City's like gray city. And like even when you, I feel like during the day in Paris, you get up and everything is so bright and there's so much possibility. Like it's amazing. So how is it versus London?
So specifically where the Fordham campus is in London, we're kind of in like what I guess you would consider like Madison Ave, like the financial-ish district. It's where all like the office buildings are. So
Okay.
during the day, it's during the week, it's very, there's a lot of people going on. There's a lot of restaurants. There's like a food alley that has a lot of like pop-up food
Okay.
places. And everything, but during the weekend, it's kind of in that area specifically, it's kind of like dead because nobody's working on the weekends. But I would say that London's attitude is, I would say it's kind of the same to you. I feel like people don't really ask, I don't know. Actually, maybe I'm such the wrong person to ask about this because I'm not, I'm trying to think. I feel
Yeah,
like
I'm
it
going
depends.
to Fordham, London next semester, so I'm like on the edge of my seat, like listening to every word.
I feel like it depends. I think it depends on like the setting you're in and where you are, if people will like ask you that. But on in general, I feel like with any city, people mainly keep to themselves. Like nobody's really gonna be smiling at you. Nobody's gonna be like, hey, nobody's really gonna be coming up to you. But you know what is funny is since drinking is a big part of European countries.
Yeah.
5 p.m. you're gonna go get a pint from the pub. Specifically my semester in December when the Christmas parties were happening around all the office buildings, it was so funny watching these people stumble around.
No, being in Europe for Christmas season is peak. Like, I encourage y'all to do fall semester study abroad because any city, the Christmas markets, the lights, like, just 10 out of 10. It's New York
Yeah.
City, but like on steroids, like it's different.
But especially for me in London, I feel like there definitely were culture differences, but let me be back in New York City and then maybe I can be like, oh, that was starkly different because being back in my suburban town, I'm not interacting with people as much as I
Real.
am when I'm in a city to be like,
No,
if I had
exactly.
gone straight from London back to New York, then maybe I would have been like, huh? But I haven't been out, so but I think funny things, especially I've noticed, are like the small, like different since I was in an English speaking country. Just like small things. I think I was telling you about this earlier, how, instead of being like, are you in the line, they'll be like, are you in
Are
the
you in
queue?
the queue?
Or ooh, being in London during like Thanksgiving. And like everything, I like forgot it was happening
No, same.
because they don't have that. And then like a lot of other things, I'd be like, oh my God, see on like my Instagram story, my friends are home. I'd be like, why? And then I'd be like, oh wait, let me clock back into my American brain. Like
Let me
you're
lock
here
in.
because of that.
No, I feel like in like In Paris, everything closes early on Saturdays and Sundays. So versus New York, you know, they're open 24/7. They're never missing a time to take other people's money. So
Yes.
that's what I was missing. Like, for example, also I feel like in America, period, Sunday is like a, oh, I'm gonna sit at a cafe and grind. Like, I'm a do what I have to do on Sunday. I'm gonna leave the whole week blank until Sunday when I get it all done. And it's like, okay, I'm ready. And then I get to the cafe. Oh, we close at 6 p.m. Oh, no, that's not gonna work. It's not gonna work.
Yeah, that's so true. I feel like they definitely have, maybe not, but I feel like they have a very big separation between home and work there. Or just for me, I feel like, because I feel like after once 5 o'clock hits, they're at the pub, they're decompressing, you know, but I don't know if that happens as much here, I feel like. And you are so true about them not having things that are open 24 hours. I mean, in London, the tube would close, and the tube would close at like midnight. Like, they don't run after midnight. They don't run after midnight. There are certain
That
buses that are 24 hours, the night buses, they'll run at night. But be mindful of your transportation in London so you don't end up having to Uber.
but for Paris, we also had to keep in mind when the metro was going to close, like at midnight during the week, and then I think Friday, Saturday was open till 2, but then it opened back at like 6 a.m. or something. So if you spent your whole night out, you could just get that metro back home at 6 a.m. But also, we also had a night bus, but our ac academic advisor during orientation was like, y'all cannot take the night bus, you will get cut. Like, but I think he kind of gave it a bad connotation. I never went. Because how could I after that performance? But I mean, I'm sure it was fine, but it was a like connotation that, oh, you're not taking the night bus unless you absolutely have to.
Yeah, I feel like we got the same sentiment as well, but it wasn't that. Actually, now that I think about it, did I ever take the tube that late? I definitely took the bus. I definitely took the bus, and that was fine.
Okay. Which isn't that the more common thing to take than the tube?
I preferred the bus over the
Yeah.
tube because the tube, I feel like it made the most egregious like screeches in the
Oh.
tunnels that I also my ears would always pop when I would go down there, and I always I don't know, for a while I thought I had an ear infection because I was like, why does my ear hurt? But it was just because I think I was really far down below, and I don't know, but
You
I
were cooked.
love the bus, love the bus, love the bus. Even if it took me an extra 20 minutes on the bus, I would probably take the bus and just give myself some extra leeway.
Comfort
Also,
over everything.
the bus is a bit different, or it's not like one step fare like in New York City. In London, they have different zones. So the farther, if there's like 8 zones, 9 zones, I believe. So as you go up in zones, your fare increases a little bit. That's something to
Okay. Also, I wanted to ask you a question because I was super curious regarding like your classes at Fordham. Were all of your professors British, or like were some of them international? Like, what was the vibe?
Well, some of them are like kind of similar to how we do it here, like adjunct professors. So obviously, they might not have been native to London or England, but yeah, a majority of them were from England, and I didn't have a single American professor. I do know that there is a professor at Fordham London who went to Fordham in New York, and he since like immigrated to London. So
Okay.
it's so technically, is he a Londoner? Kind of. I'm blanking on his name. But he is, I've heard he's a very nice professor. I think he, feel like he might be with Gabelli students more. I think
Okay.
that might be his field. But yeah, a majority of your professors are English. I mean, like all of them are, not a majority, like all of them.
And then
They
how'd you
all.
feel about your classes?
I felt like it was quite literally, since it is Fordham, London, it was quite literally Fordham, but in London. So if you
Okay.
are considering studying abroad and you're worried about like credits transferring, making sure you're staying on track, I would say like Fordham London or the Fordham Grenada program, you will be stay on track because you are just doing Fordham in another country. So like don't worry about that. But I definitely think the 3 hour classes, because there's like 3 times of days you can have class from 10 to 1, 2 to 5, and then 6 to 9 for the class blocks. Those take a bit of an adjustment, and sometimes when you only get a 15-minute break, you're like, oh my
Oh
God, no.
God.
But they do, it does get easier and it does get better. And certain professors, I know my art and architecture professor, Professor Snell, he definitely knew how to block out the classes, and it moved very quickly. And plus, with Fordham London classes, a lot of my classes we had field trips, so we were getting out of the classroom. Like for an art and architecture class, you're going and visiting a museum, or I know my communications class, we went out to the science museum to go look at like a timeline of different communication devices throughout the years.
Oh, that's
So
sick.
they definitely try to get us out of the classroom, which is really nice. But yeah.
For me, my classes were also long. They weren't 3 hours. I think they were like 2:45 though, which is same thing. But we would get two breaks most of the time. And that was nice because then for at least CIEE Paris, everyone leaves the classroom. You go into like the lounge area. You meet up with other students who are also doing their breaks, and it's cute. We all kiki, we all have fun. But I took classes at the CIEE Paris Program Center, and then I took three classes there, and then I also took two classes at a French institution, and in English though. I don't speak a lick of French. And it was super different realizing how they do things at the French institution versus Fordham, and it makes you appreciate Fordham a little bit more, like in the sense of in French culture, at least in the education system, everything is so lax. Like, for example, my Parisian friend, like mid late December, I asked her, oh, what classes are you taking for spring semester? And she was like, oh, we haven't even like had the option to sign up for them yet. And I'm like, oh, Fordham would have had that on lock since what? Like, and the middle of first semester. Like it would have been, or at least it would have been in the works. It would have been in the thoughts. I don't like even students have their next 2 years planned already so they can graduate on time. So it was different adjusting to that. And like my teacher would send out the study guide like 48 hours in advance, which is great. But versus Fordham, the study guides would have already been posted like with the syllabus. Like everything would have been scheduled, every homework assignment scheduled with the syllabus. I don't think I was given a single syllabus. So that was a big adjustment to get used to, but it was a challenge and I was like up for the challenge. So it was fun.
Yeah, and for people thinking about Fordham London, you can definitely still get an experience that Tess is talking about, because Fordham, you're allowed to take courses, or at least one, I believe, or up to two, up to two, don't quote me on that. I think there's three different partner school options that are pretty close by to the Fordham London campus. So I know with those classes, since you're in a completely different university, they have a different set of rules. I know a lot of people enjoyed those classes, and you meet a lot of people that aren't at Fordham when you are in those courses. So take
Hey.
notes. Wait, but Tess, what made you want to go to France, specifically Paris, for study abroad?
Oh my God, that's such a good question. I have no idea. No, I'm just kidding. I originally did not have Paris on my list. Originally, like going from high school into Fordham, I was like, I want to go to London and that's it. And especially like in high school, I was very scared of going somewhere where English wasn't my first language. I was very scared of going somewhere where English was not the first language in the country. Just in terms of like an emergency, something's happening and everyone's speaking in French, and then I'm like, oh, I don't know what's happening. But in Paris, everybody speaks English. I never had a problem. Of course, there are times when like someone didn't understand me, but it all worked out the way it was supposed to. And my roommate is actually from Germany. My roommate during my sophomore year at Fordham. And she was saying, Tess, I've visited Paris before. You would love Paris. Like, knowing you, you should definitely go to Paris. It's very similar to New York City. The metro system is very similar to New York City. It's super easy to navigate. Like, there's nothing to be afraid of. It's a busy city. You'd love it. And then my very close friend, she also visited Paris, and she was like, Tess, you sh Paris is a bit of you, babe. You have to go. And with that encouragement and like doing some research on the city, and obviously knowing that Paris is an amazing city, I was like, guess I will go. And I still want to go to London, so just I'm doubling up this year. So that's what how I came to Paris, and it was the best decision of my life. What made you choose London?
Well, my study abroad situation is I really, at first, I really wanted to go to Ireland because,
Okay, Dublin.
yeah,
Okay.
I read some Sally Rooney and I was like, that's where I need to be. Anyways, I was reading a lot of Irish literature and I was like, I really want to go to Ireland. And I was on that path, but then none of my courses were really lining up. And I was gonna, the majority of what I was gonna be taking there was going to be elective credits, which
Yes.
it's kind of hard to justify in this economy. So Fordham
Yes.
London found me as a participant. And while I was at Fordham London, I did not even travel to Ireland, but that will come. I know that it didn't line up. But that's okay. I
I've
have
heard that Dublin
many.
is really expensive, anyways. So it all happened for a reason.
But you know what? It's okay because there are so many more years in my life where I will have the opportunity to go. But
Yeah.
speaking of travel, here are some of our travel tips, just off the cuff. Make sure when you're booking anything, you should 100% be in an incognito tab or like a ghost mode tab to make sure that Google's not listening to you and seeing that you're like tracking the flight on Google Flights or whatever.
That's genius.
Recommendation.
That's genius. My recommendation, plan early in order to save a lot of money. If I would have planned a lot of the things that I knew I wanted to do and was going to do, it was just a matter of booking it in at least like within the first month, then I could have had a lot more money in my pocket. Your turn, go.
Another one is I recommend using Skyscanner. They will filter out and tell you like the cheapest flight to wherever you want to go. Also, my friends did this a couple times. They booked one-way tickets instead of round trips, so they booked their return and their flight back, which sometimes ended up being cheaper because sometimes buying together can be more expensive.
Period. Definitely, this is obvious, but don't miss your trains or your planes. I missed one train and one plane. And well, the plane wasn't my fault, but I missed the plane. And those cost me a pretty penny to reschedule because one thing about me, I'm gonna get there some way. But that was rough. And also an app I recommend, City Mapper, which is like Google Maps, but for Europe. Not all of Europe, but at least it works in Paris. I know it works in London too. So yeah.
City Mapper is a must. And I also recommend if you are in London to look up how to get to the airports because the most accessible airports to get to via train and the least expensive way to get there are Heathrow and City Airport, which you can get to on the tube. Heathrow, you can mainly get to on the Elizabeth line, and then the City Airport. You can get to via like two or three transfers on the tube, but those two airports are also where all the expensive flights go out of. No, like EasyJet or WizzJet fly out of there. So the other two airport options are Gatwick and Luton. And just make sure when you are picking your flight, you total in how you're going to get to the airport because the train ticket to some of these airports can be around an extra £20. Also, look into taking the bus. I recommend taking the bus to these airports. You can find student discounts on sites, and that can be about £15. So just total in getting to your airport because that happened to me my first two trips where I didn't realize which airport I was going into. And I was like, damn, I have to drop another £40 to get to and from the airport.
And it all adds up. Terrible. Horrible. And so show off the list of all the places you visited in fall semester.
Okay, so I started out by going to Amsterdam, and then I went to, where did I go to next? I think I went to Paris, and then I went to Barcelona, and then I went to, oh my God, I'm blanking. Then I went to Greece. I also went to Belgium. I also, where else did, oh, I went to Brighton. That was a nice little like day trip. I went to Oxford.
Did you say Spain already? Okay.
I think that's about it. I think that was like maybe six places. My favorite place by far was Barcelona, and that may just be because I was visiting an old friend, but still, Barcelona is my favorite city. I have such a love for Barcelona, and I'm dying to go back. I love Barcelona so much.
Same here. It was my favorite too. I went to what?
I also went to Copenhagen. That was the
Okay.
one I missed.
And the nice thing about my program is that they had so many excursions and like day trips or an overnight trips that were free because it was factored into the cost of the program. So, with my program, I went to the region of Normandy, and this place, I'm gonna butcher the pronunciation. Sorry. Reims, I think it's pronounced REIMS. And then I also visited Nice, Brussels in Belgium, Amsterdam as well, Barcelona and Madrid. So, and Barcelona was my favorite. I went there for Halloween, which is like a little tip. Barcelona is like the hot spot for all study abroad students to go to for Halloween. I actually saw two girls that I went to high school with in my grade in Barcelona. Crazy. Crazy. Did you see anyone from your hometown?
I didn't see anybody from my hometown, but I did connect with some people from high school that were, I think, in the CIEE program in Copenhagen, which is funny.
Oh, that
But
is so
oh,
funny.
I f also forgot to mention I went to Germany. And
Okay,
that's it.
keep it coming, please. I need to know. You must have so many
I
recs too.
Actually, Germany was a very short trip, but nonetheless, I touched, my feet hit
German
German
soil.
soil.
You gotta throw it in. That's like when you have a layover somewhere cool, and it's like, okay, I did have my layover
Exactly. Like, I
in
also
Switzerland.
touched, actually, I touched ground in Luxembourg too. Like, don't play. I did a
Oh
little,
my
yeah.
God.
Also, transportation wise, I recommend looking into the train. Take the Eurostar if you book it far enough in advance, especially in most of these places, they're in city centers. So you won't have to worry about taking transportation to probably extra transportation to wherever you're going. So I definitely recommend, especially if you're in London, booking your Eurostar in advance. You should be able to get to France for very affordable prices because you will not have to factor in your journey to the airport. It will just be a bus or a tube ride away to the train station.
Yes, and they don't weigh your luggage. Please take the train. It's great. You can bring as much food, as much like sized liquids, all of that. I took the train for Nice, Amsterdam, and Brussels. No, Brussels, I took a long bus. That was rough, but it was worth it. It was super fun.
I wanted to do that so badly. I kept telling my roommate really wanted to go to Amsterdam, and I kept telling her I was finding like $40 bus tickets to Amsterdam, and it was gonna fully take a day on the bus. It was gonna take like 13 hours, but I was like, hey, like we could get on the bus at 8 p.m. and get there by 10 a.m.
And like it sounds good in theory, and then you actually get there.
Yeah, but I really do want to do that one day, and I will probably do that eventually, but not this time around.
Some
Okay.
people want to rough it by backpacking through Europe, and you're like, I want to rough it by going on a 13-hour bus. Please.
Yes, I think I would meet some really nice people.
Fun.
Okay, what else? Another big thing that happened during our study abroad experience was a lot was happening in the States, and I at times felt so disconnected. And I realized that this, what was only a 5 hour time difference for me, 6 hours for you at times, boy, can that time difference be very significant when it comes to finding out big news. Big news, big results. It can either ruin your day, uplift your day.
Make you crash out.
Exactly. And what I realized is that, especially leading up to the US elections and everything, I had to be so diligent with seeking out news of what was happening in America because when you're not there, your algorithms aren't really giving you current events like that. So that was very interesting. The New York Times app was my best friend. Thank you for them for giving us access to New York Times because I found out a lot of information through New York Times notifications. But also, it made me find new ways to make sure I was on top of my daily news intake, like whether it was like listening to a podcast in the morning, like the NPR one, I thought was really good. But yeah, felt very disconnected at times because of the time difference. But I feel like I got better and better with it as time moved on.
Yeah,
But
and yes, continue, please.
no, you go.
Okay, well, if you insist. What I was gonna say was I don't know about how the UK viewed American politics, but the French, they definitely make fun of American politics. And me and my European immigration class talked about this a lot at my program center. And like on my walk to the metro, each morning I'd pass by this magazine stand that just had newspapers of like, and the front page was just Trump screaming at Biden. And it was like obviously edited, but it was, you could tell like they just thought we were all just a big joke. And a lot of the, this never happened to me, but a lot of my fellow students within the program, they would talk about how a lot of, they'll be at the store or something. And the worker will say, oh, do you support Trump? Oh, did you vote for Trump? Because they think our politics are a joke. Like, they think, oh, it's all so funny. Versus for us, we're like, oh, this is actually like affecting us currently as we speak. So it was very interesting seeing everything happen regarding the election, but then being miles away and realizing like, oh, okay, eventually I'm gonna be coming back to this political state, which it was kind of like dystopian.
For sure, about that feeling of like the way people would react around you or ask you about it. 'Cause I have this, I remember this one thing, and I was just like, no, like this is serious. Like,
High key, it's serious. This is actually going to affect me for the next 4 years.
I was like, oh no, this cannot be joked about. This is very much my future.
It hits home, literally.
Yeah, I very much I can't participate in this joke. Like, sure, from an outside perspective, this might be very funny, but no, I cannot joke about this.
But
No,
no. But no, but I'm glad you're finding some sort of humor.
I will have to live with this. You will not, but me, on the other hand, I, me and it will be
Terrifying.
like this.
On a lighter note, to make it more about London v Paris, London versus Paris. Can you give me any London Rex? Or I can start us off.
I just gave Tess the widest eyes she's ever seen. Okay, first rec I give you
Are you
in
gonna gatekeep
London.
on me?
No, I'm not. I would never.
Okay.
The first recommendation I can give you is go to Leather Lane, and that is
Ooh.
where the food market is near the Fordham London campus. Go to Leather
Okay.
Lane, especially after 1:30. A lot of shops do half off their food. Specifically, me and my friend's favorite place was this Afghani place. Their food is incredible, and after 1:30, they do half off. So you can get like a large bowl for £5.
Okay.
And their
Okay,
food is so
cheapies.
good. It's like two guys. They're literally the sweetest. Their sign is like yellow. I cannot remember the name, but if I find something related to them, I will make sure to forward you the information.
Yes, please.
I recommend a lot of, oh, this is actually my biggest recommendation. Definitely go find under 25 deals, whether it's like discounted movie tickets or whatever. They have so many of those. Oh, especially for theater, the National Theater. I think the National Theater is doing a production of Hamlet while you're in London next semester, Tess. And I'm
Wow.
so jealous because my dream is to see a production of Hamlet live. And oh, I'm so jealous, but they have under 25 tickets. I went to go see Emma Darcy and the other plays at the National Theatre, and I think I only spent like £20 or maybe £15 on my ticket, and I had an incredible view. My
Amazing.
third suggestion is to go to the Barbican. The Barbican is my favorite place in all of London. It's really close. It's like a 20, 15-minute walk from the Fordham London campus. You can also take the tube, but it's not worth it because it's literally a stop. You can walk, promise.
I swear the cardio isn't gonna hurt, babe.
I promise. But the Barbican, it's how should I describe the Barbican? The Barbican, it has a movie theater in it. It's also a theater space. It also has a lot of cafes and food spaces in it. It also has a library, but it's just kind of like a community space that's very fun. It has a lot of cool history. It's brutalist architecture. I learned about it in my art and architecture class. And I love
Okay,
the
brutalist
Barbican.
architecture.
Second, go get a meal deal from Sainsbury's or Tesco. A meal deal gives you like a bag of chips, a little wrap, and a drink for like 50 pounds, three pounds and 50 pence, I should say. And you get that from like anywhere really. I recommend that. Also, the Curzon, they do a lot of under 25 movie deals. There's one right by the UCD campus in Bloomsbury, I believe, is the nearest one. That's also like another 20-minute walk from campus. I really like that movie theater because it was a nice little jaunt when they were playing a movie that the Barbican wasn't playing. A lot of my recommendations are movie related, if you can't tell.
Also,
Also,
were the movie theaters there, like, did they have popcorn and candy and
they
drinks?
sure do. They
Okay.
sure do. And you can even get a drink. But
Hallelujah.
Ching. I also recommend going to all of the museums because a majority of them are free. Also, going on walks or just going online and finding local exhibitions at small galleries. I went to a couple of those, and those are so super cool. And yeah, just walk around, go on a walk. It's nice.
That's what I always tell anyone visiting Paris. The best way to actually explore is to walk. Please look at the architecture. Please stumble into a park. Like, that's the best bet. But my recs of you, Tennessee Bar has trivia nights on Tuesdays, and they say it in America, in English and in French, and it's American trivia. So y'all should get it. And the Moose is an NFL bar, and that place is packed with Americans. And especially being somewhere where English isn't the first language, it's pretty refreshing to walk into a space where everyone is speaking English, and you get to like take a deep breath and not have and kind of realize like, oh, I can actually communicate without like being in fight or flight, which is great. Good news, a really good coffee chain with vanilla lattes. Vanilla lattes are not common in France. Don't think that every cafe is going to have a vanilla latte because they probably won't. Delhi Bazaar has really good Indian and it's a good recap spot. Revoir Vintage is my favorite vintage store. Y'all are lucky I'm even telling you that. They just opened in the beginning of fall semester. So it's super cool there. Please pull up. Paperboy is like a good lunch spot. And I felt cool there because everyone else looked cool there. They had their like streetwear, only wear black sort of fantasy. Everyone has a half sleeve. It's great. Or like a mullet. And yeah, those are my Paris recs.
You made me think of a couple more, and now they have slipped my mind once again.
I
Oh,
mentioned a
if
coffee
you're.
spot. Did you think of a coffee spot?
No. But I did think that you mentioned a vintage store, and when you're looking for thrift stores, they do a lot of thrifting events in like warehouses, kind of, where it'll be a lot of sellers in a building. So I would definitely look for those, but also if you're searching for any, look for charity shops because they call them charity shops in London. So the main ones are, as I blank on what they're called. Give me one second.
Good. Well, you mentioned museums earlier, and I was thinking about because I'm not a big museum person, but obviously, if you're in Europe, you gotta hit a couple museums for the culture. So I was thinking about my favorite museum, and mine was for sure the Anne Frank House in Amsterdam. I don't know if you've been there, Morgan, when you went to Amsterdam yourself.
I did walk outside Anne Frank's house, and my aunt was like, "Let's take a picture." And I was like, "No, let's let Anne rest in peace."
As we should, as we should. And I went inside Anne Frank's house, and it was super duper cool because it wasn't just things put on display, it was actually where she lived. So it just felt a lot more real. And then they even had the pencil markings of, you know, when y'all are young and then your parents track your height against the door, they had those markings as a display. And that felt just like so surreal to see it on the wall and like actually in Otto's handwriting and stuff. So it just felt super real. And you get the audio guide with your ticket purchase. So that was nice too. Like it's a full production. It's a full story. You really feel present and everyone is silent. So it's very serious, but I loved it. It's 10 out of 10.
Those charity shops I was talking about were Oxfam, the Cancer Research, and then there's a bunch of other ones that you will stumble upon, but I recommend going in to the charity shops.
Yay. I went into a lot of vintage stores as well. I didn't go into. Does London have the kilo shops too? Or no?
Yes, they do. And also a big vintage place, and it's a big vintage place is the Brick Lane Vintage Market. Brick Lane, that's where a lot of vintage sellers are. So go over by Brick Lane if you want to do some real vintage shopping. But I do find that it's way more expensive than New York. I don't know. I am so used to what's that one in Brooklyn? Oh,
the there's like the it's not called the dumpster fire, but that's a lot
no,
of
it's that
home
like chain. I can't remember what it's called. Oh, see,
crossroads.
I've been away from New York too long. It's off like Morgan Avenue or something. I can't remember what it's called, but it's anyways, I didn't find much success in charity shops and going thrifting with air quotations around thrifting or going vintage shopping, but some of my friends did. But I was just like, you're a lot for a little.
I didn't in the kilo shop specifically, I didn't find luck either because it's a lot of like copy and paste and all of them kind of have the same sort of vibe to them. But in like the vintage shops, you gotta find the ones that aren't too much money. Like they got variety, like the like Revoir Vintage. They had some like handcrafted stuff and then some designer vintage stuff, but it wasn't too expensive. Like my friend got what were the Louis Vuitton flats for like 120 something like that, 120 euro. So it's definitely like you pick what you want to spend your money on. But then I also got a cute little skinty scarf that you could tell it's just like cut up fabric, but it's fluffy, it's cute, it's patterned, it's got some stripes on it. And that was only 25 euro. And I love it. It makes me feel really Parisian. But in terms of the vintage shopping, Paris has such a big fashion culture, obviously, just like New York. So everyone really puts on a fit, especially at my French institution. Seeing the way these kids dressed, they made like it was always kind of an upscaled basic sort of vibe. No one's wearing athleisure. Everyone's wearing jeans, a sweater, maybe a leather jacket, maybe some leather boots, low-waisted fantasy. Like it's always, they put that stuff on. And so you then feel like you have to put on a fit as well. So I feel like I definitely pushed my style a little bit more being in Paris. So that was really nice and not just like waking up and rolling out of bed and then walking down to class. I don't know what the style and like the clothing was like in London.
I feel like it's very similar to that, not a lot of athleisure, bare minimum jeans or a trouser. But yeah, people definitely have a lot of nice fits on. I feel like that's like a general thing with Europe and the UK. Athleisure's not really a thing. Or if it is, it's done in a very specific way. Like, I can see it like sweatpants and like, but this, you can't really tell you're wearing a sweatpant.
Yeah, like it'll be sweatpants, but they're not cinched at the bottom and it's a matching set. So
Yeah,
it's,
they'll.
yeah.
I'll leave viewers to imagining that image in their head, but
They got
yeah.
the matching set, but then they also have a beanie that also matches and then sunglasses as
Yeah,
well.
it's like it's the way they present themselves is definitely way different than how a lot of people dress themselves in the States.
And then I was also curious if you had any packing tips too.
Packing tips. I am a very stressed packer. My mom can attest to this. And I recommend just packing a lot of basics, like just make sure you have like your black, white, gray, short sleeve, long sleeve. You don't need that many sweaters. Like, bring like three button up sweaters, maybe like two like pullover kind of cardigans or sweaters. And yeah, you'll probably find stuff while you're out there. I know, especially where Fordham, London is, you're very close to Soho and Central London, where a bulk of which is like the shopping center where you'll find literally every store imaginable. So no, you can always get more while you're there. You don't have to bring your whole closet. And yeah, and save room in your suitcase. Try. Got it. You can save room. Because
My.
also, wait, sorry, sorry. Come
No,
to find out,
please, please share.
I was told coming from somebody coming back, and you know how in America you can pay for an overweight bag? If you're
Yeah.
flying back on British Airways and your bag is overweight, you cannot pay to compensate for it being overweight.
Dang.
Just so folks know.
And Americans always think they have a way out. No, gotta follow the rules, unfortunately. I feel like for me, like you said, you're gonna buy so much more than you actually think when you're there studying abroad. So please leave room. Like what I brought, I came with my parents to Paris, so they brought me a duffel bag of toiletries, and then I had two large suitcases packed to the brim, and a small roller and a backpack. Why did I do that? I don't know, because I had to donate or throw away so many things, and I was barely underweight, but I got it in. I made sure. I brought like five pairs of jeans and then like three pairs of pants. I didn't need all of those. I brought like just random stuff that I never even touched or like touched once. I swear no one is remembering what you wore that week. You can rewear your jeans, babe. You can rewear them more than once a week. My friend had a suitcase hand scale that I borrowed. That would have been really useful. I'm bringing that with me now to London. It's nice because all this knowledge that I have accumulated in my head from first semester, I'm just gonna put it, bring it with me second semester. And oh, big tip. Since my family came with me to Paris, they didn't revisit again, but a lot of my friends, their family came during Thanksgiving break or Christmas break. And then when their family came, they left room in their suitcase so that their kid could just put in all of their summer clothes into their parents' suitcase. So that was super duper helpful. So just a little tip if you're studying abroad in the fall.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I was going to say something, but I forgot it as soon as I opened my mouth,
No, literally, same.
as I tend to do. I don't know if there's anything else I feel like I need to add about my London experience. I had a blast, And I hope more people do it. It's super fun to be abroad, and I'm counting down the days that I can be back, and I'm jealous of Tess being back in like T minus like 4 days.
Yay.
I'm so jealous, but I can't wait for her to make some London memories, and I can't wait for her to text me, and I'll
Yeah.
have even more recommendations to give you.
No,
Because I
like
slacked with giving
literally.
them to you right now.
Oh
But
no, you're doing perfect, babe. You're killing it.
being abroad is so much fun, and I recommend. And I'll
Yeah.
have to give her closing thoughts too.
I feel like I just want to spill so much, but then I also want to kind of keep some parts so that everyone can just experience it on their own and kind of make their own mistakes, because that's part of the fun too. Like, it's all so fun. And whenever people are like, "Oh my God, I found myself when I studied abroad. Oh my God." Like, low key, it's true. No, but like, it's totally a need to have experience. Like, you don't think you need it until you do. But I do know a lot of people who say that, oh, if I'm going to Europe, I don't want to be taking school at the same time. But trust me, it does not feel like you're taking school. Like, it feels like you're exploring. Honestly, like you feel like you're a little adventurer. So, yeah, 10 out of 10. Please go. Just go. Just do it. That's all.
Yeah, and especially with the like feeling like school might weigh you down. I mean, at times definitely school does catch up to you, especially during like midterm season and like final season. But if you're on top of yourself, if you're on top of everything and you create a good schedule for yourself and you stick to that, even though we all say that, and does it ever happen? For some, yes. For most, no. But if you at least try, you'll be in a better position than you were if you were just completely slacking and then everything's piling up. But yeah, 10 out of 10 would recommend. And yeah.
And actually, I appreciated my program being a partner program because, like, for example, with Fordham London, that's a lot of Fordham London students. I mean, Fordham students versus my program. There's only one other Fordham person in my program, and she was on a different campus. So I just made a bunch of different friends from a bunch of different schools in the US, like Tulane, UW, Cornell, just like all over. So it was really cool just having kind of a complete reset. And just establishing new relationships, networking, if you will. And yeah.
Yeah, and even from a Fordham perspective, I met so many people that I probably would have never met being at either Lincoln Center or Rose Hill. And obviously, the Fordham London program does do like partnerships with other schools. So there were other students from different schools there. But I also met so many people that I would probably not have met just being at Lincoln Center. So that is also something too. Same days.
Twin.
Where have you been? But yeah, this was so fun, Tess. I'm so glad we had this conversation.
Yes,
And
totally.
to everybody listening, thank you for listening and see you next time. Bye.
Ciao.